There's no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast on the left.
From your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
All the leaves are brown and the sky's gray. And the sky is gray.
Welcome to the show.
I went for a walk. I'm sorry.
Welcome to the show, everybody. That's Marcus Parks. I'm Ben Kissel. With us, as always, the beautiful, the singing, the man, the one, the only.
Oh, San Francisco, Henry Zabrowski. Oh, you got flowers in my hair.
That's wonderful. What kind of flowers do you have in your hair today?
They're big, stinky. Wet flowers.
You're the world's worst hippie?
Oh, yeah, buddy. Don't you worry about it, man. Hey, man, are these free peanuts at the bar, man?
No, you gotta pay for them. Please, get out of
man.
Here.
Dude, you're hassling my butts.
You know what? We're just gonna have to shut the doors. Why did we open up a bar in San Francisco?
Walk around back, long hair. The hippies lost.
That's right, they did indeed. The hippies were of a certain time, a very similar time to the main man of our subject. The main subject of today's episode.
Absolutely, guys.
The
Zodiac Killer.
The Zodiac Killer.
We have to get this episode done with. The information that is in my head from the Zodiac Killer research time period, because we've tried to do this episode three times. My brain, it's ruining my life.
I know it is. It's ruining our friendship. It's ruining everything. Henry has changed.
Henry came in earlier, and we were doing the show outline, and he's just yelling at me.
For no reason. Marcus is just sitting here about to cry.
Yeah, and he's not stopping. He's not breathing. I just go, Henry, you need to calm down.
I was researching it last night, and we did a show last night, and I came home last night at 11 o'clock. I had a bit to drink.
Uh-huh.
And I was sitting, just a little bit.
A detective's amount of whiskey.
Yes, and I was sitting in the living room just reading, and my girlfriend comes in, and as she was coming, I literally was going like, that's the fucking missing link! I mean, like my shirt off, and just walking around.
Reading
just being
for
like,
you is like a full...
I'm gonna bust this wide open!
Reading for you is like a full contact sport. You're sweating
really
profusely, you're standing up, you're running all around, you got shoulder pads
it's
on,
it's the only exercise I get. That's
not,
what this is
not
about.
Not a traditional form of exercise. We can admit that, right?
So
reading.
Today's episode, we're talking about the Zodiac Killer. Now, this is possibly the most famous unsolved serial killing crime that has ever happened in the history of any time, right? And this is...
history of any time.
My fucking brain.
You could have maybe Jack the Ripper.
You could say
Jack the Ripper, but we're talking about America.
This is America. What year are we talking about with the Zodiac Killer?
1968.
And what state are we in?
We are at the end of the hippie times.
They're all...
Put on your dress, girls. Ain't no room for a brawl.
That's right. They all turned into hippie Henry Zabrowski. Ruined the movement. Got everybody kicked out of
Bush hair ruled the day.
Bush hair ruled the day. Indeed. And what state are we in?
We're in California. We're San Francisco.
San Francisco!
And Vallejo, California.
Vallejo, California. San Francisco, 1970s. Henry, let's start
1960s.
Off. 1960s. Late 1960s. This Zodiac Killer is on the loose.
Pre-Manson.
Pre-Manson.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so this is, again, what we were talking about last time about, like, serial killing was new to America. People didn't really understand.
We need to get rid of B.C. and, you know, before Christ. It's pre-Manson and after Zodiac.
And yeah.
That's it. It's 1967 p.m.
68
p.m.
Yeah, so let's start it, Marcus. Let's get into the details of the case, because we're about to bust this motherfucker right open.
That's right. The goal of today's episode, solve the Zodiac murders.
Well, as we were saying last week, we covered it very briefly. Before this time, before the 60s, most police detectives did not believe in the phenomenon of a serial killer.
Right.
Yes.
So a lot of these serial killings did go unsolved for the longest time.
And that's like Taco Bell not believing in the chalupa.
Think about that. Where would we be if Taco Bell never believed in the chalupa?
Without soft crust, hard crust combos?
I don't think it can be done. Get out of here. You're a lunatic.
What are you, a time traveler?
Intrigue.
What are you, George Washington's ghost?
Just gets you murdered immediately. So, can you imagine going back to the 1910s and introducing the idea of a chalupa? That would be phenomenal.
You got out. We will burn him at the stake.
Then you come back to the future and everyone's like 5,000 pounds in motorized scooters. You'd be like, what have I done? I introduced the chalupa too soon.
Puffy, delicious taco bread. Baja sauce. I cannot believe. How will we ever write this constitution? Thomas Jefferson.
Just turns America into a fascist, like, Nazi state because they were eating chalupas the whole time and didn't read the Constitution.
Set the scene. Let's set the scene.
Yeah,
right?
Set the scene. Here we go. 1968. Beautiful, sunny San Francisco.
December 20th, 1968. The winter equinox. We'll get to that later.
Okay. That's right.
December 20th, 1968.
Everyone's wearing sandals.
Oh, no doubt.
Lake Herman Road.
Richard Nixon's just a terrible dream.
A couple of high school students, Betty Lou Jensen and David Faraday, pull off onto the local lover's lane.
Oh, yeah, to start finger popping each other because they're 17.
Oh, ridiculous.
I remember when I was 17, the first time I made out with a girl, she was trying to give me, like, you know, like over the pants sexual stimulation.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She wanted to rub on that huge rock hard boner. Yeah.
And she made such a burn on the tip of my dick. It really just ruined the summer for me. Let's go. Let's take it to the Zodiac.
Yeah, let's go.
I had a similar thing happen. I had blue balls for a day.
It really sucks when girlfriend who's trying to love you breaks your penis.
I'm going to take the podcast back to the Zodiac. Let's focus on your penis, Henry.
At about 10:15 p.m., they pull into the lover's lane.
Okay.
Start finger popping.
Sure. Yeah. We're assuming they're finger popping.
We know they're finger popping.
We know this. Okay.
They said the forensics, when he died, he had one finger up inside of him.
Right. One in the butt as well. If he was a very,
just
60s.
Prior to 11 p.m., a car pulls up beside the couple. The killer exits the car, walks towards the Jeep Rambler, takes both of them out of the car. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because he ordered them out of the car at gunpoint, right? What gun does he have in this first crime?
I believe he has a .38.
Yes, this is the .38.
This is the .38. He takes them out, boop, boop, shoots them both in the head.
Okay.
One of them, the girl, was gunned down 28 feet from the car with 5 shots in her back.
Shot her in the back.
At night.
And that's what they're saying. It was an incredibly accurate shot. That's why there was a theory as to this, is that the killer used a flashlight attached to his gun.
Sure.
And used it as a aiming technique and then fired around the circle of the flashlight mark.
Well, that seems to make sense.
Yeah, because they found 5 shots on her back on a crescent. Like going up. So basically it looked like he shot her perfectly. Like someone who's trained with a gun.
She shouldn't have worn that bullseye denim jacket she always wore.
Yeah.
You know, the old female dartboard there.
Next kill.
So was there a theory after they found out that he was such an amazing sharpshooter that he had military ties?
We'll definitely get into that.
It seems like he must.
Midnight, July 4th, 1969. Darlene Farron and Michael Maggio drove to Blue Rock Springs Park in Vallejo, 4 miles from the first murder site.
You also notice that that's another victim site with water in the name of where the crimes happened, mm-hmm. and that will also feature later.
Yes, it will.
I like it.
A second car drove into the lot.
So fucking complicated.
So we're up to 4. Now, he killed both of these people.
Well, we'll get to that.
We're good.
Okay. So he drove into the lot, parked right next to them, immediately drove away. 10 minutes later, the car parks behind them, approached the passenger side door of the car carrying a flashlight and a 9mm Luger.
Okay.
Different weapon.
Different gun.
Okay. Different gun. The killer directed the flashlight into their eyes before shooting 5 times.
Pop, 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 pop!
Jesus, Henry, you're scaring me, man.
Both victims were hit, and several bullets passed right through them.
Okay.
The killer walked away from the car, but upon hearing Maggio's moaning, he returned and shot each victim twice
before
driving off.
Michael Maggio did it really. That's a pro tip for anybody who's murdered by a serial killer. Pretend to be dead, because that's what he did. He said that he played dead, and then he went, ah!
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what amateurs do.
Yeah. If you get shot, you get dead. Like,
that's what I do.
That's what you got to do.
If I even hear a gunshot away, I drop to the ground and act like I'm dead.
That's right.
Yeah. If I hear a car crash, I'm...
You're gone. Yeah, you're on the floor. Yeah.
Absolutely. I have a bunch of fake blood that I'll cover with myself at any given time so that I could just be a victim.
Right. But I mean, in all honesty, in all truth, that's what... Like the Home situation when James Home went and shot up the Batman movie theater.
Yeah.
A lot of people were just like, just pretended to be dead. And all of these... the Columbine shooting. Mm-hmm. A lot of people just survive by putting their fucking faces straight down. And
possum it.
You got to possum it. That's what you got to do when you're shot by a serial killer.
About half an hour after that, the Vallejo Police Department get a phone call that says, "I just killed 2 kids." And then at the end, he tells them exactly where they are, and they find out that the phone booth was about 3/10 of a mile only from Farron's home and only a few blocks away from the Vallejo police department. At the end of the call, he just adds, almost as an afterthought, "Oh, I also killed those kids last year."
There's a lot of this in the Zodiac Killer. The whole crime sequence is that he'll go and he'll be like, "Oh, yeah, man, I also killed these guys. Oh, yeah, 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 no, and I also got that other couple. You know that they said that old man died of a heart attack? Yeah, well, I fed him a chalupa until he died."
Yes, all the beef. The beef stuck into his heart. So, how messed up does your mind have to be if it's an afterthought, the fact that you killed two people? Like, it wasn't like immediate, it wasn't on the top of, like, if I killed two people, I feel like I'm carrying that on the front of my brain
for later on again, because what comes into it is like, is he lying? Mm-hmm. Is this guy lying? Are these all done by different people? Like, is it just somebody who's looking to be important, trying to get his name in the paper? Or is it a guy who's really killing somebody? Or was it a hitman that was killing a bunch of other people around the hit that he was supposed to get for money? Or was he a part of the fucking San Francisco police force who's trying to build a case against himself? And then as soon as they start to crack it, they realize they can't bust him because, oh, he's a brother in blue.
Or do you need to take a nap? Does Henry need to take a nap? Sweating profusely.
This is what...
By the way, also, ladies and gentlemen, Henry came in. He was wearing shorts like an adult would wear outside. Immediately changed into a bathing suit.
Well, because it's hot in here. It was very warm in here.
Obviously, you guys have been listening to the past few episodes. Henry has been shirtless. And so I want to say thank you, Henry. Your shirt is on and you have a bathing suit. You're prepared.
I bought a second shirt to put on after this is done.
Good. Fantastic.
Yes.
I love you, Henry.
I love you.
All right. Let's get back to some murder.
All right. And so after the July 4th murders happened, on August 1st, 1969, three letters were received at the Vallejo Times-Herald, the San Francisco Chronicle, and the San Francisco Examiner.
Okay.
All three letters were identical. However, each letter contained a different cipher that, when put together, supposedly gave you the identity of the killer. Let's read the letter.
Yes. Okay.
Dear editor, this is the murderer of the two teenagers last Christmas at Lake Herman. And the
Christmas
girl
is spelled wrong.
Christmas.
How does he spell Christmas?
With an extra S at the end.
There are a lot of spelling errors.
It's really interesting, but you also saw the same thing in the BTK killings when he sent the letters. But which is also interesting because he was a highly educated man who wasn't misspelling things. They do this on purpose in order to show that they're deranged. They're
that
trying
was my
to like. Also, if you break up spelling patterns, it's really hard to determine handwriting analysis.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. That was my major question, because I mean, the man wrote a cipher that was almost impossible to crack.
But he wrote it in childlike letters. So let's get into
that. We'll get to that and all of those theories. I have stuff to refute that.
Sure. Okay. Okay.
All right.
God, this is just.
I love this, by the way.
We're already in too deep.
Zodiac killer.
Which is like, I'm just going to apologize again to our listeners. This is more complicated than any alien agenda thing I've ever read.
I know the reptilian world just seems like a total rational thought compared to the Zodiac killer conversations I've been overhearing and participating in. And by the way, I want to say Kaylee's friend Ashley, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Ashley. All right.
Goodbye.
All right.
Goodbye. Did you kill her?
Goodbye.
Why are you saying goodbye? It's her birthday.
See you soon in hell.
All right. Well, that's when you asked last podcast for a birthday wish. That's what it turns into.
I hope you don't go to heaven.
Oh, Henry, it's her birthday. Thank you for listening, Ashley.
All right. Dear editor, this is the murderer of the two teenagers last Christmas at Lake Herman and the girl on the 4th of July near the golf course in Vallejo. To prove I killed them, I shall state some facts which only I and the police know. Christmas. Number one. Brand name of ammo, Super X.
Awesome. Cool.
Number two, 10 shots were fired. Number three, the boy was on his back with his feet to the car. Four, the girl was on her right side, feet to the west. 4th of July, one girl was wearing patterned slacks. Two, the boy was also shot in the knee. Three,
his finger was inside the girl's vagina.
Three, brand name of ammo was Western. And then it says over at the bottom.
Okay.
Turn the page over.
If you do find...
Just so you know, there's more letter.
God forbid they don't read the back. Over. Oh, I didn't even look at the back.
I can't even believe it. How long have we had this Zodiac? He wrote his name on the back. I can't believe
his
it, guys.
His name, his address, the whole thing, a picture of himself.
I love it when these guys write letters. Oh, no, I can't seem to read any of the writing. Because they're all covered in delicious... butter stains.
It's so amazing. Detective Popcorn has just entered the studio. Detective Popcorn, have you ever received a letter from a serial killer?
Long ropes, a candy rope. How I love a Twizzler. You can use it as a straw for a Coca-Cola.
Sure, have
you,
it sure can, but...
have you cracked any serial killer letters?
Four different guns. It's like when you could put four different toppings on a bucket of popcorn, Parmesan cheese.
But that's great, but I mean, we're talking about serial killer.
Cajun spice mix.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But then let's say a serial killer sent you...
Delicious, spicy cayenne caramel.
Cayenne caramel. So you get a message from a serial killer. It's a letter. You read the letter. And you...
Haven't you met my friend, Buttered Corn?
No, I haven't.
I think he's my uncle.
Yeah, it makes sense. Okay, Detective Popcorn's actually... He's gone to drain his Detective Popcorn penis. I'm sure he pisses pure butter.
I do.
Yes. Yeah, you do. You actually
do. That's why it's yellow.
Yellow, because it's butter.
Second part of the letter.
Yes. Over.
Here is part of a cipher. The other two parts of this cipher are being mailed to the editors of the Vallejo Times and the SF Examiner.
Okay.
I want you to print this cipher on the front page of your paper. In this cipher is my identity. If you do not print this cipher by the afternoon of Fry 1st of Aug 29, I will go on a kill rampage Fry night. I will cruise around all weekend killing lone people in the night, then move on to kill again until I end up with a dozen people over the weekend.
Does he sign an OMG lol?
No. lol.
And at the very end, he has his famous symbol, which is the circle with the cross in the middle.
What are the coolest symbols?
Which is
around.
Also the actual official symbol of the Earth in Zodiac writings. It's also the name. It's also the symbol for Zodiac. Just the sort of the term Zodiac. You can use that as that. It's also a compass. It's also a target.
Okay.
Yeah. And again, so all can be featured inside of the many different conspiracy theories wrapped into. Who the Zodiac Killer is.
That's right.
And
that's,
of course, we'll other people say that it is a KKK symbol because the Zodiac Killer was a white supremacist.
Marcus, I need you to go.
But you also read about how it could also be a thing called a Yefirim, which is a an ancient like Viking symbol that if you add two things to it, like if you combine a target with the peace symbol and you do that because Ted Kaczynski was using that, again, another suspect.
We'll get into the Unabomber theory
And you
later.
Can also relate that Viking religion to the Thule Society, which the Nazis worship.
Oh my God. And
Marcus, I didn't even know
that connection.
I cannot have you both going crazy. I really can't handle it. Mark, you need to be with me
Let's get back to the facts. We're supposed to just be covering the facts.
Man, I've been barely hanging on this entire time.
It's really hard to not just like start screaming.
It's been really hard.
I know. You guys are doing great. You're holding it all together. Everything is wonderful. So he sends this letter out.
And
you put this on the front page of your newspaper if you're an editor?
Okay. Absolutely. They put it on the front page.
They send this cipher, which is 17 letters across, 24 rows long, right? Which is the whole thing is, you know, various symbols. It could just be cock-a-doo-doo. Like, it could just be this guy going like, and this is a funny picture of a smile. Right. It could be emojis.
Part of it is true, though.
Yes.
Part of it is true.
They sent it to the NSA, they sent it to the CIA, the FBI. None of them could crack it until a teacher couple in, I forget where they were, what part of the country, they just cracked it, and this is what it read.
Yeah. I like killing people because it is so much fun. It is more fun than killing wild game in the forest because man is the most dangerous animal of all.
That's going to come up later on in the podcast as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. To kill something gives me the most thrilling experience. It is even better than getting your rocks off with a girl. The best part of it is that when I die, I will be reborn in paradise, and all those I have killed will become my slaves. I will not give you my name because you will try to slow down or stop my collecting of slaves for my afterlife. EBEORIETEMETHHPIT.
Just a bunch of extra letters.
LOL.
The end of it.
LOL.
Yeah.
EBEORIETEMETHHPIT.
Fuck cash for gold. I mean, this is an investment into the future. This is a real future investment. You know, an afterlife full of the victims that you killed. I mean, isn't that a nightmare? Isn't that how Maniac sort of lived? I mean, why would he imagine that when he goes to heaven, unless he is confronted by everyone he murdered, they would be his slaves, as opposed to people who would just, like, rip him limb from fucking limb?
Because this is part of the satanic connection, because some Satanists believe that those you kill can be in some sort of incantation, which also meant... Never mind.
It also goes deeper into the Temple of Set, like, where the original sort of evil religion of Egyptian times came out. Like, that's where people... Pharaohs were... born, like, buried with a bunch of different, like, their servants would have to all be buried with them in order
to
serve them.
It's a bad day when the pharaoh dies, when you're the pharaoh's chef.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're gone, too.
Yeah. Because this plays into having your kills be your slaves in the afterlife, also plays into another theory we're going to talk about later right. that has to do with math, with Mount Diablo, and Satanist underpinnings.
Well, we kind of briefly discussed the couple that cracked the code. How did they end up cracking the code?
They did a staycation.
They just did a staycay?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they just cracked it. When everyone else failed, they cracked it. But there is other... This is part one, correct?
This is part one, technically. The other two parts could not be solved.
Yeah. And there's a series of theories about that. There's a theory that it's just too complicated to solve. And there's another theory that the guy only... He just had... Because anyone with a book on how to make codes can make a code.
Yeah.
Right.
And it... The fact that the first one was so hard and the other two are indecipherable, some people say it's because the Zodiac Killer was not a clever man.
No, he could be. Yeah, he just was a moron.
Gary Ridgway. America's most prolific serial killer was a fucking moron.
Same thing with Henry Lee Lucas. Henry Lee Lucas apparently killed hundreds and hundreds, and he was legally retarded pretty much. And it was like, these are guys that are like, they're just good at one thing.
Right.
They're good at killing. Again, pointing to the main suspect that was named by Richard Grzynski, the former political cartoonist for the San Francisco Chronicle, who said that Arthur Lee Allen was the guy who did it, who was also had like the mental age of
the
a
mind of a child. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what was the point of him putting all the extra letters there at the end?
He just ran out of stuff to say. Okay.
I think it's just a bad cipher. And you can see at near the end of it...
It's all falling apart.
It all starts to fall apart near the end,
okay.
Which I think that definitely points to someone who's just not very good at this.
So the San Francisco Chronicle put this on their front page.
Yes.
Which, that's a fun day to pick up
the
newspaper, right?
That's an amazing thing. I remember
Sudoku. Fuck reading the Daily Comic. You try to crack that cipher, right?
I remember in New York when I was growing up in 1993, there was this Zodiac copycat killings that were going on. And that was more to the letter, like he was killing a different person of each Zodiac symbol for each month until he was caught. And he sent letters to the editor as well. And that was kind of along the same lines, basically saying, I'm collecting slaves for the afterlife again.
Okay. All right. And so on August 4th, 1969, they get a second letter. The San Francisco Examiner gets a second letter, and this is the very first time that the killer self-identifies as the Zodiac.
Where I feel, in my opinion, this is when he stopped writing letters. I don't think he wrote this letter, but let's continue.
I mean, I will say, rarely do I appreciate somebody nicknaming themselves, but I kind of appreciate him nicknaming himself the Zodiac.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah. Dear Editor, this is the Zodiac speaking. In answer to your asking for more details about the good times I have had in Vallejo, I shall be very happy to supply even more material. By the way, are the police having a good time with the code? If not, tell them to cheer up. When they do crack it, they will have me. On the 4th of July, I did not open the car door. The windows were rolled down already. The boy was originally sitting in the front seat when I began firing. When I fired the first shot at his head, he leaped backwards at the same time, thus spoiling my aim. He ended up on the back seat then, the floor in back, thrashing out very violently with his legs. That's how I shot him in the knee. I did not leave the scene of the killing with squealing tires and racing engine as described in the Vallejo paper. I drove away quite slowly so as to not draw attention to my car. The man who told the police that my car was brown was a Negro about 40 to 45.
Whoa, with the N-word.
A little touchy.
It was a different time.
Mm-hmm. I think it was actually polite for the time. Yes.
He was rather... I think it was. Yeah, it was very polite. Rather shabbily dressed. I was at this phone booth having some fun with the Vallejo cops when he was walking by. When I hung the phone up, the damn thing began to ring, and that drew his attention to me and my car. Last Christmas. In that episode, the police were wondering as to how I could shoot and hit my victims in the dark. They did not openly state this, but implied this by saying it was a well-lit night and I could see the silhouettes on the horizon. Bullshit! That area is surrounded by high hills and trees. What I did was tape a small pencil flashlight to the barrel of my gun. If you notice, in the center of the beam of light, if you aim it at a wall or ceiling, you will see a black or dark spot in the center of the circle of light about 3 to 6 inches across. When taped to a gun barrel, the bullet will strike exactly in the center of the black dot in the light. All I had to do was spray them as if it was a water hose. There was no need to use the gun sights. I was not happy to see that I did not get front page coverage. Zodiac.
Boom. He won the front page coverage.
Well, in the end, you know, what we're going to see now is that Act 3 of this is incredible. Like, and he's going to deserve some Michael Jordan fucking airplay.
Got to get those new Zodiac shoes that are coming out soon. The one with the
puppet. Well, he didn't want everyone to wear his buttons.
He did.
He writes later on. He gets very mad. He wants everyone to wear Zodiac buttons, and if he don't, he's going to blow up a school bus. But then, I didn't catch on.
I
want one.
I'm definitely going to get one.
We can make them.
We'll figure it out. We can make buttons. The Zodiac speaking, though, I feel like it's more like this is the Zodiac like in his underwear screaming at the wall while attempting to write this letter.
The Zodiac, eating tamales.
Just love that. This is the Zodiac speaking.
Yeah, it sounds great.
Let's get into the next attack.
The next attack is possibly the most famous attack of them all.
Okay. Yes.
We have four confirmed kills, right?
Three confirmed kills.
Three confirmed kills. One got away. The dude. Oh, you'll notice a lot of these, the dude lives because men are stronger.
Are you going to go into that argument right now?
Hear me, Jezebel.
Exo Jane, Jezebel. Check us out.
All right.
So let's go into it.
September 27th, 1969. Brian Hartnell and Cecilia Shepherd, two Pacific Union College students, picnicking at Lake Berryessa on a small island connected by a sand spit to Twin Oak Ridge.
Oh, didn't he think he had a perfect date idea?
Oh, yeah. We're gonna go picnic. What I like about this specific, this instance, is they were talking about how, like, Cecilia told him, she's like, we really need to talk about something. So it's like, this is like, they were having bad conversation.
That's right, yeah. God, I just wish someone would come and shoot me in my fucking head, Cecilia! Really, Cecilia? You're blowing Tom behind the bleachers?
Seriously?
This is ridiculous.
Come on, Cecilia. It's
I
not
hope a
cool.
bullet fucking goes right through your eye, Cecilia.
Hey, we're over here. Hey,
the only two victims
here.
Of the Zodiac
first.
Killer that desperately wanted to die.
Well, here's what happened.
Yes.
A man approached them wearing a black executioner-style hood with clip-on sunglasses over the eye holes and a bib-like device on his chest that had a white 3x3 cross-circle symbol on it.
So just covered in pudding.
Rock and roll.
It's the Zodiac symbol. It's like, this is where I find the BTK taunting the police to be, like, kind of dumb and nerdy and shitty, where it's like, this guy had something going on. Like, if you got the costume, you are, you know... That's presentation. I mean, I appreciate that as a performer.
That's right. I mean, this is on par with Batman putting on the Batman mask.
It's
Joker shit. Yeah,
get more to the details. Yeah. The details of this one's amazing.
Yeah. And so, he approached them with a gun, which was probably a .45.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Different weapon. Once again, the hooded man claimed to be an escaped convict from Deer Lodge, Montana, where he had killed a guard and stolen a car, explaining that he needed their car and money to go to Mexico.
Okay.
We all got to go to Mexico.
Everyone's got to go to Mexico.
Absolutely. I hear Cozumel's beautiful.
Does anybody go to Mexico to, like, not escape something?
Birthplace of the daiquiri.
Isn't that something? So he's
He had brought pre-cut links of plastic clothesline and told Shepard to tie up Hartnell before he tied her up. The killer checked and tightened Hartnell's bonds before discovering Shepard had bound Hartnell's hands loosely. Hartnell initially believed it to be a weird robbery, but the man drew a knife and stabbed them both repeatedly.
Well,
so the
apparently
Zodiac
what he said
stabbed
is,
them.
Is, this is the thing. He changed his whole modus operandi again.
Everything.
And then it was like he changed everything. He turned to them, apparently, like, because the dude survived the attack, he told them, now I'm going to kill you. Literally, it was like, now I have to kill you. And step. And then he wrote the dates of the first two attacks on the Sharpie marker on the door of their car, drew the Zodiac symbol.
But that's
wrote
a new
that
paint job.
Yeah, but then wrote that day's date and wrote by knife underneath it.
It was Vallejo, 12-2068, 7-4-69, September 27th, 69, 630. By knife.
So do
you put the fucking time of murder on there.
Is that why you think... Is it possible this is a different killer than the first two?
No, I honestly... these are what is now considered... These are considered the canonical murders of the Zodiac. I mean, like, technically the next one, Paul Stein as well. We could talk about that maybe real quickly go over the details of
Very quickly, which
was a cab driver named Paul Stein that was murdered by what it seems to be the Zodiac killer. And the reason why that was confirmed later on is because he took a picture... He took a part of his bloody shirt and mailed it to them in a letter afterwards.
Okay.
But that was filled with weird shit where it was like, I forgot where he picked him up. He said that he picked up a clean cut man with a crew cut, which is now you hear several mentions of that. Mm-hmm. Guy with a crew cut, big thick glasses, big strong jaw.
And that's the most notorious picture of the Zodiac that we
the only
know,
one
right?
that yeah, was that's taken. Sort of
the,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. The composite, the police composite, but which we know are very flawed oftentimes.
Very much so. The costume that the guy wore was an executioner style hood, meaning that it was, strangely enough, it wasn't your total, like, just straight down hood, rounded hood. It was squared.
Yeah, it was, mm-hmm. like, it was like a bag on your head
yeah.
with two eye holes, again, pointing to the KKK exactly. slash Satanist idea that he had the costume that he just retrofitted right. to be like, and now I'm the Joker, motherfuckers.
Yeah.
You know?
And so Paul Stein.
I mean, there's something sort of emasculated about sewing at your desk as an adult male.
No.
But
it's
then
very
when you're making
I keep
the Zodiac
hearing it's
mask,
very masculine to sew.
Yeah. Well, when it's the Zodiac mask, I think it is.
Yeah, it's different.
Yeah.
So on October 11th, 1969, just a couple of weeks later, Paul Stein, a cab driver in San Francisco, picks up what is supposedly the Zodiac at Union Square in San Francisco, drives him to Presidio Heights.
Which is a very fancy, nice neighborhood in San Francisco.
Okay. Very
at least
much
that
so.
Was at the time.
And so the passenger, he then shot Stein once in the head with a 9mm, a different 9mm from the one before.
Okay.
The
well,
one before
he,
was
this
a,
is the fourth different weapon he's used.
Crazy.
He used
yeah.
a 38, he used a Luger, he used a knife, and now a 9mm.
Yeah.
It's really strange.
And yeah. even the gun that he had at the third scene was different from any other gun.
Right. Yeah.
That was a 45.
So is it a gun collector? Like that, maybe. I mean, that's what they're saying. Yeah. That's a part of what points to some various members of the suspect list.
Right.
The gun collectors, since like he's got a shit ton of guns.
Right. But we'll get to the suspects soon.
And the and speaking of suspects, the cops, this plays into the cop theory that there were multiple witnesses at the scene that saw this guy coming out of the car right after he had shot Paul Stein. And he
okay.
did take a bloody piece of his shirt and send it to the San Francisco
to prove that it was
examiner.
Him.
Yeah, to prove
but then,
that he did it.
When the radio dispatch went out looking for the suspect, they said a black guy was doing it.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's like now, it, so who, yeah, of course he did. But then, and then he wrote a letter after the fact saying like, while you guys all raced around trying to see how much money, how much noise you all can make with your cars and your sirens,
right.
I slipped away after speaking with several police officers. So he hung around.
Right, yeah. right.
So
very
this
cool.
so very interesting,
right? Yeah, a mildly charming fellow. It sounds
so. The San Francisco, as far as the canonical deaths, that's it.
That's it. It's five.
Okay.
He killed five.
The San Francisco Police Department. They investigated an estimated 2,500 suspects.
Everybody in San Francisco that wasn't like, you know, holding a guitar or like on was questioned by the police.
So he was 5 for 7.
5 for 7.
5 for 7.
And obviously not the highest serial killer toll of all time.
It's but more about his cultural impact.
Right, exactly. So it's more of a Son of the Sam. Son of Sam type situation, though everyone
exactly.
was paralyzed.
And now let's read the letter. The one part that's important to read for the Stein letter is the part where he said, if you don't, basically,
October 13th, 1969. This is the Zodiac speaking. I am the murderer of the taxi driver over by Washington Street and Maple Street last night. To prove this, here is a bloodstained piece of his shirt. I am the same man who did in the people in the North Bay area. The San Francisco police could have caught me last night if they had searched the park properly instead of holding road races with their motorcycles, seeing who could make the most noise. Drivers should have just parked their cars and sat there quietly waiting for me to come out of cover. School children make nice targets. I think I shall wipe out a school bus some morning. Just shoot out the front tire and then pick off the kiddies as they come bouncing out.
It's an easy way to do it.
But again, this is the beginning of his various threats about bombing a school bus. Then the buttons threat came out saying, like, if people don't start wearing the buttons, I'm going to blow up a school bus. You can find, like, various victims that he said that he's laid all over town.
Right.
And then what he would do is, as these subsequent letters would come out, he'd start putting at the bottom of the letter, like, Zodiac symbol equals 12, SFPD 0. And then Zodiac equals like 27, and then SFPD equals 0. He was racking up counts. So by the end, they said the Zodiac claimed to have murdered 37 people until he totally disappeared.
Any
None of it's real.
Information about that? Yeah, that's all made.
None of it's all because then we find out later on the guy that was the head of the investigation, Detective Toshi, started writing fake letters as a Zodiac and printing them and talking about them in order to get the real Zodiac
to come back out.
There's various ones, like a Halloween card that was sent.
Right.
That was, it wrote Paradise Slaves on the side of it, and then by fire, by knife, by gun, by rope, and then
that's the detective.
That was a detective. He did that.
And so did the newspaper continues to publish all these?
Oh, of course.
Is that the right decision to make?
The one where he claims 37 victims, it was a review of The Exorcist. He said, I saw and think The Exorcist was the best satirical comedy that I have ever seen.
That's
signs, yours truly. He plunged himself into the billowy wave and an echo arose from the suicide's grave. Titwillow, titwillow, titwillow.
Beautiful poem. It kind of reminded me of the Beachy Quay. It's just like, oh Anna, why weren't you there?
Right.
Yeah.
So maybe why won't you appear?
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe he wants to give up the serial killer game and become a movie critic. I don't get a job with the paper.
Oh my God, was it fucking Roger Ebert?
Did Roger Ebert do that?
Thank God he's dead!
Thank God. Roger Ebert.
Good. The head detective, Toshi, he almost went insane over all these killers. And Toshi was...
I can imagine why. Yeah. Because we're trying to do one podcast on it. I could barely not scream.
Yeah.
And he was a super cop. Dirty Harry was based on him.
Okay.
Scorpio. Scorpio was all based upon the whole thing. And Scorpio about taking the school bus. That's all based on Zodiac.
It was a fun time. I don't think it happens anymore. I think if you write a letter to the New York Times and be like, put my cipher on the cover of your newspaper, I will murder again.
People just
like,
don't
no,
have imaginations anymore, right? Right now, the only unsolved killing we have going on in America is a Long Island serial killer, and he's just killing prostitutes. And in the end, that's just, you know...
It's pretty par for the course.
It's a par for the course.
But, you know, prostitutes are people, too, and wonderful people.
Absolutely, I love prostitutes. Do we want to play his call in to a local chat show in San Francisco?
I desperately want to hear this. I love this call in so much.
He called in as himself. I don't think it turned out to be him.
No, it's proven to be a fellow in a psycho ward.
Yeah. But this was a call that he did to speak with San Francisco itself.
Yeah, at the time, the two news anchors thought that it was real, and they reacted in very nice, super pleasant.
Yeah, he called the police demanding to speak to lawyer Marvin Belli or F. Lee Bailey. Of course, F. Lee Bailey was
very
unavailable.
Famous. Yeah, of course he was. Yeah, interesting.
And he specified a morning show.
Okay.
So, for some reason, he just wanted to get it out of the way.
He's an early riser. The Zodiac's an early riser.
I take my run.
Yeah, of course. Before
I have just my him morning. And his hood just running next to the highway.
Is that the Zodiac killer, like, going for a jog? Very bizarre.
It's just, I'm losing water weight with the bag.
Yeah. You know how, like, amateur wrestlers, they drop the pounds? Yeah, I'm looking to slim down about 15.
Yeah. I'm just trying to, you know... It's hard work what I do.
I would love to see the Zodiac in the mirror just pinching a love handle. Get yourself together, Zodiac. You're the Zodiac.
Never make Cosmo.
Come on.
This is on the Jim Dunbar Show.
The Jim Dunbar Show.
In the morning, San Francisco.
All right.
Talk to us. Just tell us what's going on inside you right now, Sam. Please.
I have headache.
Right.
How long have you had those headaches, Sam? Been a long time.
Since I killed a kid.
What? Was it before December that you had the headaches?
Yes.
Yeah.
Were you in service that you might have had an injury in service? Did you ever fall out of a tree or downstairs? Were you ever unconscious?
I don't know.
You don't remember?
I'm hungry for a chalupa.
Has asked me any good?
No.
Doesn't do any good. Sam, young stuff never did me good either when I had headaches.
Sam, let me ask you a question. Did you attempt to call this program one other time when Mr. Belli was with us? And you
what?
Did you try to call us one other time?
Turn down the radio.
When Mel Belli was with us.
Yes.
And you, and, well, and you
couldn't get through? And
couldn't get
talking.
Through. The phones were tied up. Was that it?
Yes.
Sam, let me ask you this.
He took my
There's some
paper.
Reason why you go to a particular doctor or a particular priest, and some reason why apparently you wanted to talk to me or Lee. Is it that you feel that we have compassion for people who get in trouble? Or is it you feel that we can do something for you? Or is it you feel that we have enough integrity that if we promise you something,
if you refrigerator
that very strict to it.
Well, let's find out why he wanted to talk to Mr. Belli, Sam.
I don't want to be hurt.
First time caller, long time watcher. This is the Zodiac.
I think I have energies.
Can you imagine? The Zodiac is calling your show. And the question is, you tried to call before, right? Couldn't get through, huh? That's the question. This is the fucking Zodiac, and your question is about inside baseball talk.
Boy, and we really thank all of our listeners who call every
everybody,
morning.
Everybody who calls, you guys make the show.
Boy, just Barb out in Santa Rosa, you're our favorite. Keep calling. That dialogue, don't give up, Barb.
That dialogue is just unbelievable. So,
I killed a kid.
I have headaches. And then the next sentence is, I killed a kid. So how long have you been having the headaches? How do you breeze over the kid line?
Sometimes they didn't even I had toothaches as well. It's because I had a bunch of candy.
All right, but go back to the child. How did you kill the kid?
Sometimes I just think about having a breast crispino and enjoy myself.
Are you the Zodiac, or are you just a fat, fat, sad man?
You guys seen Butch and Sundance? It's a funny
It's a great movie, yes. But let's go back to the child that you murdered.
Classic acting and then... And, you know, mostly I'm just... It's hard to find comfortable shoes in a stylish form.
How old was the child you murdered?
I'm a butthole wet. I sat in a plate of water.
Okay. Well, this is
plate
you know
of water.
I'm beginning to believe he's not the Zodiac killer. He seems to have very little information about the crime. Well, thanks for calling in, Zodiac.
I just feel like that's what he would sound like.
I think that's exactly what he did sound like.
Make a hat, I'll go out there and
that's the thing. Yeah.
I got my outfit on and I got a big knife. Get those guys.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that is, I guarantee you that's exactly what the Zodiac sounds like. That's what possesses you to go and murder everybody that's in love with a goddamn leather mask on.
Sit down and write a letter. It's going to be hard for them to read it. And
I want to sit
down. You think he listened to that Neil Young
to
song?
I like puzzles. I like puzzles in there. I can like my puzzles in. Yeah, put my name in.
That's like serial killers, really, they are just super nerds. They are all super nerds. This man just sews and writes letters and makes ciphers all night long.
So now that we're in a solid 45 minutes into the
Holy
podcast.
Christ. Let's get into
some suspects.
And we didn't even get into the non-canonical murders, like the Riverside attacks.
Breeze over them.
Well, Riverside attack is, there was this girl, Sherry Jo Bates, who was brutally beaten and stabbed
similar to Zodiac fashion?
Similar to Zodiac. Well, I mean, that's the thing.
There's no Zodiac fashion.
There's every single murder is different. Every single method, every single weapon is different.
It's like Neil Young's like last five albums.
Right, yeah.
You know, where it's like, this one's surf rock. Yeah. Oh, this one's all about cars.
This one's about war.
This one's about shoes, funny shoes, high heel shoes.
This one's all about my dog, which is a true album, I believe.
Well, after the Riverside murder, there was a letter written to the police, okay. But it was very well written. Uncharacteristic, and the styles, like in the Zodiac Killer, like in those letters, he only says kill. He only uses the word die once, and he says it's like when I died.
But then the rest of the letters are all super romantic and flowery about death. Right. Kind of sound like what the BTK killer did.
Sure.
Yeah.
So it's taking a life of its own.
Gay shit.
Yeah, it's pretty gay shit. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
And there was a poem found written underneath a desk, and some people say that it was Zodiac for reasons that I will get into later.
We're going to have to start getting into these things soon.
That works in a Satanism. That the reason why Sherry Jo Bates is possibly a part of this entire
thing.
So all the murders are
different. It seems like a very confusing situation, which leads to the fact that's why no one was caught, and that's why there's tons and tons of suspects.
So, again, we were saying the deepest, darkest rabbit hole I've ever gone down is researching who was the Zodiac killer.
Well, let's get into the most famous suspect.
The most famous one is a guy named Arthur Lee Allen, who was a... pretty retarded man from the San Francisco area that was convicted child molester. But then some people were like, "Oh, he's a hilarious guy."
Yeah, they
but
love
it's like
his-
the, what people said that was so funny about him is that he'd carry a machete around with him and he'd try to kill flies with the machete.
That's comedy.
Yeah, I had a friend like this that would just do really weird things out of nowhere that were kind of violent and kind of dangerous and just makes whole room uncomfortable. And I gotta go home.
One of the guys from Memphis has a childhood friend. It's like kind of same way. It's like he came to visit New York City, thought it was really funny to buy crack from a dude on the subway, and then like he would like when they would all trip acid, he would like go and like smash windows with like a fucking knife in his hand in order to freak everybody out. And just like because he only hung out with psychopaths, all his friends were all criminals and derelicts and stuff like that. They all loved him.
So what was Arthur's job? What did he do in the community?
Arthur was a, he was between gigs.
Always between gigs.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't you, you have to have a gig at one time, right? And then well, the idea he, of another gig at another
he
time?
He was a, he taught elementary school and then was fired and he for being
for having sex.
He
loved it. Don't you go to prison
it.
For that?
Well, we can get. If do you want to hear some actual?
Yeah.
Some of his friends.
These are some of his friends who describe Arthur Lee Allen.
All right. Well, this is from a documentary called "His Name Was Arthur Lee Allen," which was just a whole bunch of interviews with his dirtbag scum of the earth.
No, and the one thing I will say is that the whole idea was put forward by the guy who is a political cartoonist for the San Francisco Chronicle. He wrote the book Zodiac, which the movie Zodiac was based on, David Fincher's movie. And this is like the common guy that everyone says did it.
Yeah, and this is. His friends, he's talking about his first ever experience with Arthur Lee Allen.
Yeah.
All right, let's judge him by his acquaintances.
A fight ensued, and I don't remember if I punched him first or
he got into a fight with the dude who thought he was fucking his girlfriend.
But I punched him, and he went down to his knees, and when he did, he grabbed a hold of my genitalia and was holding on, and just a minute amount of panic ran through my body as
this is a man used to speaking to police, you could tell because of the way
punching his head. And at that moment, the main door of that apartment I was in just imploded. It wasn't that the door came loose or opened. It came right off the hinges. That door imploded and came right down. And a big man came through that door carrying a knife. And I could see in that man's face, in his eyes, that man was devoid of an immortal soul. That man was on just a different plane than...
And then they hung out for the next 15
minutes. Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. This becomes your best friend?
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
So he got, his actual best friend, quote-unquote best friend, a guy named Don Cheney, called the police and said, like, hey, I think my buddy Arthur is a Zodiac killer. And at this point, they said that they were going through 5 suspects a day.
Right.
They were going through, people were calling being like, my son-in-law is a Zodiac killer.
Sure.
They'd have to go fucking check it out. And it's just because he's parking your daughter and everybody is upset about it.
Right.
It's like, when he went to... So they called him, and so he called the police, and they're like, well, why do you think he's a Zodiac killer? And he's like, well, you know, one time we all used to go hunting together, and we'd go out and go hunting, and then one time he turned to all of us, and he's like, hey, guys, you ever thought about, like, killing a bunch of people? And
they're just, I've got it right here.
Yeah.
On one occasion, Cheney and Arthur Allen were talking more or less in a science fiction type story mode.
Yes, you see, this is
story
like
mode.
A character. Like,
oh,
what
okay.
Talking about? Yeah, like,
he's a thespian.
Yeah, like when Henry does characters.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is his detective popcorn.
Yeah.
So you guys ever think about going murdering a bunch of people? I love it when I play this character. It sounds exactly like me, and it's actually how I feel. I love it.
Arthur Allen asked Cheney, have you ever thought about hunting people?
Mm-hmm.
Allen talked on, relating how he could go to a lover's lane area and use a revolver or pistol with a flashlight attached for illumination and an aiming device, and he would walk up and shoot people. Allen went on saying that it would be without motive and how difficult it would be for the police to investigate.
Sure.
Allen stated that he would send notes to police or authorities to harass and lead them astray, and he would then cite the notes, Zodiac.
Allen. Because he had a watch that said Zodiac.
Yeah. Right, and so did the police investigate him? And they just cleared him?
Yes. Well, we'll get into it really quick. And so he also talked about the shooting. You could shoot the tires of a school bus and pick off the little darlings as they come bouncing off the bus.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, and they when they got him, like...
He nailed it. I mean, either this man is like a psychic
and, then when the
and
police
just knew
went
what
to go
was going to happen.
But it was amazing. When the police went to go speak with him, basically, they went to go speak with him, and they're like, what's up, Arthur? What's going on? He's like, nothing, you know? Just so you know, I got 2 knives in the back of my car. They got blood in them because it's chicken blood. And they're like...
Chicken
okay.
blood. Okay, very good.
Sure, thank
He's
you for
honest.
Volunteering that
That's
information.
Nice, yeah.
And then he was just like, you know, my favorite, you know, I would never do something because I really respect you guys. You know, I really hope that one day that we can all just like get to a point where people stop calling pigs, like cops pigs.
I like this
you know?
Guy. He is so nice.
And then at the very end, again, unprompted, as they left, he's like, you know, my favorite book's The Most Dangerous Game.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And he's a reader.
Yeah.
And they say that in a lot of police investigations, the one who is most eager to help out the police,
oh, yeah.
many Definitely. Times is the guy that is your main suspect.
He straight up called them after they were done with him and said, any help I could give you, I'd
Please.
Love to.
Yeah.
I'd love to hook you up.
I,
Do you want to hear his own words?
Oh,
pretty much turning himself.
Oh, you want to hear his buddy? So you want to hear his buddy talk about?
Yeah, this gives you a little bit more info, a little bit more insight onto who Arthur Lee Allen was.
Okay,
remember that he did work with kids for a brief period of time,
right?
And loved it. Just
too much. One can argue much too much.
Loved it.
Like if I worked at like a pork factory,
that's right. You'd be fired immediately. I wasn't eating all the pork.
Like dressed in purple, like Willy Wonka.
Yeah.
Aha! A glorious dream.
Yeah. And he was fired from this job for reasons that will be explained here.
Sure.
And this is probably his shadiest friend.
Oh, yeah. His name's like Richard Grunk.
Yeah, one of the shadiest men on the face of the planet.
And later I found out he really was fired for child molestation. Yeah.
He was teaching trampoline to those little girls over there. And
you don't have to teach trampoline,
to
by the way.
Them.
He wanted to be a teacher. He liked a children's world. Mm. He liked kids. He liked to be a part of that world. To what extent, I didn't appreciate at the time.
Appreciate.
He went a little too far with it, obviously. But he enjoyed children, and they loved him.
But he admitted to using the screams of a child as a sex toy.
Yeah. Yes, he did. He used those. He said he enjoyed listening to the screams of a child being beaten.
He told me once that he had been a victim of cryptorchidism in his adolescence, up until his adolescence, and it hadn't been diagnosed or treated until then. The testes are undescended, and what that does, of course, is it would postpone
if you're
the development of male secondary sex characteristics until the testes are surgically brought down into the scrotum.
I mean, he had a lot going against him.
Yeah. A lot going against him. If a serial killer is about to shoot you, just take a stab in the dark and be like, you got no nuts! You got no balls, buddy!
Don't
you have no nuts! Oh, now he's crying. Now give me your gun. Now you give me your gun.
It's true!
But like,
it's
like
literally the lack of testicles that made him do all this.
But mostly, all of the what we're going to see is also the common thread of most of the reason why these suspects are rejected is because there was one print that was caught by police
it
that they believe
print,
is to a
print of
that was
YouTube.
The thing. It was a big set of like 9 pounds.
Detective
sack
Popcorn,
of nuts.
Detective Popcorn, did you feel his balls? Did you feel his balls to see if he was the Zodiac?
It's like a sack full of greasy hamburgers.
But it's like,
well, he's definitely off the list.
Like they, if you, so there was like one palm print that they got, and basically Arthur Lee Allen did not match the palm print.
Right.
And I mean, but again, gun collector, owned several machetes, was in the thing at the time, talked about the murders, was into
like,
it.
Literally told his friend exactly what he was going to do and then did it.
Yeah.
Here's some of the other things that make this, that this isn't a 100% locked up case.
No, of course
this
not.
This isn't, because this, there are many different things involved in this, like it could
he
be
passed
that,
the polygraph
okay, so
test.
What, are some things that discredit Mr. Arthur
he
here.
He passed
Mr.
the
Arthur,
polygraph right. test, or yeah, he passed the polygraph test, one. Number two, they compared the DNA on the stamps of the letters that were sent to the San Francisco Herald with Arthur Lee Allen's DNA, and it wasn't a match. However, there is... God damn it. There is one.
Right.
There is an explanation for that. But this explanation only came out after they had said that his DNA didn't match because Dick Cheney wants this to be true.
Yeah,
real
Don Cheney.
Bad.
Don Cheney.
Yeah, Don Cheney.
Dick Cheney probably does too. Dick Cheney is the Zodiac killer.
Yeah. Don Cheney wants all this to be true very, very badly.
Right.
And so after it came out that it said that he was, that the stamps didn't match up.
And this is DNA evidence of the 60s and 70s.
No, I mean, this is very recent.
Oh, very recent.
This is extremely recent. Don came out and said, like, well, you know, I do remember one day where, and it was about 1968, where he had me lick a bunch of stamps. He had me lick a bunch of
it
his stationery.
It was licking stamps for the best friend day? Henry, I'm never licking stamps for you.
Hey, Ben, can you, could you hold this knife for me?
Just
wave it around a little bit. Oh, thanks. Thank you, buddy. Yeah. I'm just going to take it with this napkin.
You want to sweat
so
on the
much.
Knife? Yeah. Oh, no problem, Henry. Henry? Did you... Henry! Is that police sirens I hear? Am I... I swear to God, officer.
And I think...
Get the giant. The giant murderer.
Henry just rolls up right behind him. Yeah, that's him.
Yeah.
I've seen him.
I told him not to lick those stamps.
God damn it.
And I think some of Cheney's statements are a little too on the nose, where he says, like, I remember him saying about kiddies bounding out of buses. Like, you just were quoting the letter. I think some things do add up, but not.
And obviously, he's not a bright man.
And he wants some. However, I don't believe that the Zodiac has to be a bright man.
No, in fact, his friend Mr. Chaney here. Yeah. I agree. So he came up with these ideas after the fact, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's possible. And Arthur Lee Allen is the best. He just seems like the number one suspect that everyone has.
And you want to just hear the words from his own mouth saying that he didn't do it?
Absolutely.
This is Arthur Lee Allen speaking in 1991, and he in a dark room, and he is a big, fat, John Wayne Gacy-looking loner, fat dude type.
He is. A worse clown, though.
I couldn't murder anyone. It's difficult as hell, and it can be... it can be terribly depressing. And if I deserved any of it, that would be something different, but I don't. There are two types of liars in the world, fishermen and policemen, and not necessarily in that order.
Woo!
There we go. He's got zingers. Maybe he is a better clown than John Wayne Gacy.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. That's my favorite statement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two types of liars.
But he, that's Arthur Lee Allen. Right. He died of being fucking old and fat and alone.
That's what he died of. That was the official on the coroner's report.
Yeah, it's like he died of neglect of soul. You know, like he just like left in a chair. He sucked on girls' vaginas.
Yeah. Quick question though, Mark. Is it possible if you're a true sociopath, can you pass a lie detector test?
Yeah.
If you're a true sociopath, right?
That is true.
Okay.
So that's just the first inch of this whole.
We could do this for fucking 7 hours.
We can keep going. We've got at least 15 to 20 more minutes.
Let's get into
some lesser known suspects, but still very plausible people that could be the Zodiac.
Let's do the next. The big one is the Unabomber. There's a lot of people who do believe that Unabomber may have also been involved in these crimes, mostly because, number one, Ted Kaczynski would write in his diaries very often that he didn't fit into society and he didn't want to fit in.
Right.
It really fits a lot of the things he said.
He's a mathematical mind.
Also learned after the fact that Ted Kaczynski chopped his own dick off.
Really?
Did you know that?
I did not know that.
How did we not know that?
He had such problems with sexuality that he cut his own penis off.
You know what? That's taken it into your own hands. I actually respect him for that.
I'm just saying that this is that's a part of it. He's an answer society thing.
Right.
And a lot of people out there are like, you know, so he's got a lot of... Like, the amount of evidence that says that he's a Zodiac killer is, like, really huge. Now, there was a website that's called... It is Unizod.com. It talks about all the different connections between Zodiac and him. So, and they said the only things that are like really just like blocking Ted Kaczynski as being the Zodiac killer is that, number one, his Princeton match, which it's just not a number because in the end it's just like, how do we even know that the prints that they have are the prints of the Zodiac Killer, right?
I believe those fingerprints are from one of the letters.
How do we know?
His friend. I mean, hell, if his friend's licking stamps for him.
How do we know?
God knows.
How do we know? We don't know. We only half know. We know what the police want to say, but what if they're doing it?
You're changing. Okay.
And then
number two,
his handwriting doesn't match.
Okay.
Again, so how do we know that the Zodiac even wrote it? And I want to put a little, I want to do one, there is a thing here comparing his writings from the Ted Kaczynski to the Unabomber.
Right.
It shows the Unabomber to Zodiac, and here's Zodiac. It would cheer me up considerably if I saw a lot of people wearing my buttons. Please, no nasty ones like Melvin's. Thank you.
Like Melvin's?
They compare it to the letter of Ted Kaczynski writing from jail. On my commissary list dated 12/11/01, I ordered tuna and 51 cent stamps. Today I received the tuna, but I did not receive the stamps. Will you please explain? Thank you.
Yeah, you're the Unabomber. We don't care about you, and you're probably not going to get your
stamps.
Where's the
stamps? He's trying to write to Mad Magazine. So that was a thing that they said.
Their fold-over picture in the last Mad Magazine, it was not the princess that they said it was going to be.
Yeah.
It was not Princess Leia.
And then another one, just like they're trying to say that Ted Kaczynski couldn't do the crime because he was living in Chicago.
Which is possible. That one,
what are you talking? You mean to tell me, and it says right here.
So
David Kaczynski informed the FBI that shortly after Ted's June 30th, 1969 resignation from Berkeley, so he was at Berkeley College.
Yes. Okay.
In 1968. So he was there for 6 months.
All right.
Interesting. Think about
So interesting. And if you need more information, Douglas Oswell and Michael Rusconi, two amateur investigators,
There's a lot of amateur investigators. They always list themselves as amateur investigators.
I think it means not investigator.
I am an amateur investigator.
Anyone
which
can
means
be.
A fat dude in a bathing suit.
Sweaty.
In a basement of a comedy club.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, they published their findings on a CD-ROM book, if you want to find
okay.
that.
A CD-ROM book.
All right. So real quick, let's just organize Ted Kaczynski. Not in his favor. Fingerprints, handwriting, location. In his favor, he was at Berkeley in 1968. And he's a psychopath.
And he's a psychopath. And also it says that Kaczynski happened to have made no mention of the Zodiac crimes or killings or drawings of the Zodiac symbol or anything about anything. About Zodiac crimes during his tenure as a Unabomber.
And so then that would make him the Zodiac, because he didn't mention the Zodiac?
Well, no, that says that he couldn't maybe not be the Zodiac, but who's to say that the Zodiac would mention his name or any of his crimes in any of his copious diaries or his manifesto?
Waiter, check please. Check please, waiter. Can I end this terrible first date? Either the check or an entire pint of whiskey if I'm going to sit through any more of this.
I'm going to put this out there for any single members of the last podcast. So, like, people listen to the podcast. If you ever just want to end a bad date.
That's it.
Just start getting through the Unabomber.
Just channel your Hong Kong Henry Zebrowski, and I'll promise you that date will be over.
There's other evidence, such as how we know the Unabomber was a very intelligent man who was very good with bombs. The Zodiac killer worked on a bus bomb for forever and could never get it done. And here's the bus bomber is also, there's something in here that tells me that he was not an intelligent man and that the misspellings were not calculated because if you look through all of his letters, he misspells so many simple words. He misspells Christmas. He misspells there.
But BTK killer did it too.
Here's my angle.
We have an angle. We've got an angle here, people.
Here's my angle. Is that he misspelled all of these words, but he spelled ammonium nitrate fertilizer perfectly.
Well, because he looked it up in a dictionary.
He had it. I think he had
the bottle sitting in front of him.
Yeah, he had the bottle sitting right in front. He had the bag in his kitchen. He wanted to make sure that he could spell ammonium nitrate fertilizer because what the Zodiac wanted to do more than anything is prove how fucking smart he was.
Right.
He was desperate to show everyone what a genius he was because then later on, what we find, where we're going to get into, I guess, right now with the radian theory. You're right.
We can get into the radian theory in a little while, but so we have Ted Kaczynski here. Let's do another suspect.
Yeah, of course. No, well, I also want to say that Christmas, the way it's spelled wrong in the original letters, they showed one of the childhood friends of Arthur Lee Allen showed a Christmas card from him in which he misspelled it the same exact way. Again!
Interesting.
Another red herring.
Or a clue, you could call it.
I think that's the opposite of red.
That's fine. Amateur investigator Henry Zebrowski.
Oh, is this a new character?
No, it's just me. This is the real me.
Yeah, that's the sad thing.
Yeah, so the next one is... I'm going to begin to attempt to describe this next theory. It's called the Radiant Theory. It's written by a guy named Gareth Penn, who was an amateur investigator,
who wrote
a book called Time 17. Again, so when the Zodiac sent his cryptograms in, they were 17, whatever it is, units long and 24 lines deep.
And this meant something.
Right? He says it's called Time 17. He said that the Zodiac was the most ingenious serial killer of all time and used. So what happened, Zodiac sent a map in one of his later letters going on saying, you will find something very interesting if you follow this map.
Sure.
It showed a circle around, the Zodiac symbol around a place called Mount Diablo.
He sent this to a newspaper,
and he's just like, you use this radian thing, right? Which is a geometrical thing that is a way to dissect an angle. You dissect it at 45 degrees. And what you do is, he said, if you follow this radian from here to here, and here's a parameter, we're going to set the Zodiac symbol with a bunch of numbers around it that he put. If you do all this, you're going to find something really interesting. And Gareth Penn has decided, well, this guy is some kind of genius. What they think it is that it's supposed to show some kind of murder site. It's all good. It's all nonsense.
It's nonsense.
So it's like, it's all not. But what he says is, the way he configured it is that he put the Riverside killings and another killing on the lines of the radian. He says it matches up. So he started writing this book. This book is 700 pages long, and it is a breakdown of the entire cryptogram mixed with the numbers that he put in this. And it is indecipherable. And what he wrote is basically this idea. What he what it boils down to is he's like, okay, so he's a genius mathematician. Number right. two, he all of the crimes happen around locations that featured names of water things in them, sure. right? And right. so, water, water, what's water? H2O, H2O, right? H2O, right? H, two H's, O. Right? Boom, boom, boom. H-H-O. His name is H-H-O. Huh, what am I going to do here? Goes through directories of
call
physicists.
Call your daughter.
In, like,
it's your daughter's birthday. Call your daughter.
He finds a man named Michael Henry O'Hare. And he's like, oh, it's not H-H-O. It's H-O-H. Michael O'Hare is the Zodiac Killer. So what Gareth Penn starts doing is writing letters to this random man who is a... He works for MIT. He's a physicist for
he
MIT.
He just starts yelling at this guy?
He just yeah. sends him letters basically saying, like...
You're a murderer of five teenagers?
He tried to get vigilantes to go kill him. He tried to do all this stuff. But it ruins this man's life.
Yeah, I guess that's what
basically
happens.
So what happens is that he starts getting calls at 2:50 in the morning. He gets a hold of his number. Gareth Penn starts calling him at like 2:14, okay. 2:16. And when he picks up...
In the morning?
Yes. When he starts realizing when Michael O'Hare funks, because Michael O'Hare is a genius, because he's a fucking physics yeah. teacher for some MIT. He's just like... Oh my God. He's calling me on numbers that correlate to police codes in San Francisco. And that's what he's doing. So what would happen was, is that people started harassing Gareth Penn by calling him late at night, right? Gareth Penn thinks it's Michael O'Hare calling him. So then he calls Michael O'Hare in the middle of the night, thinking that it's all going back and forth, and they're having this like mind game between the ultimate fucking detective
funny.
And a serial
that's
killer.
Straight
and
it's funny.
And I can't find the book's insane.
Okay, what's a more difficult book to read? David Icke's The Biggest Secret?
David Icke's Biggest Secret is just,
or Mr. Penn's book about the Zodiac.
If there's a read sections
yeah.
of this.
Yeah, the book is called Times 17.
Okay.
In late December 1968, he had murdered two teenagers in a lover's lane near Vallejo using a .22 caliber firearm. 7 months later, he attacked a couple in another lover's lane at Blue Rock Springs Golf Course, also near Vallejo, this time with a 9mm automatic pistol.
Okay.
I was curious to discover what the Zodiac had meant. Then he drove about 5 miles into the heart of the city of Vallejo to report the crime to the police from a payphone about 4 blocks from the police station. I was curious to discover what the Zodiac had meant by this rather bizarre suggestion. I bought a sheet of clear acetate and a marking pen. Using a protractor and a straight edge, I drew an angle of between 57 and 58 degrees on the acetate and then laid the acetate over a map of the Bay Area.
The acetate?
I placed the apex of the angle on Mount Diablo, then rotated the angle around until one leg passed through the scene of the murder at Blue Rock Springs. Then I felt as if a ton of bricks had fallen on me. The other leg of the angle went straight through Presidio Heights in San Francisco, where the Zodiac had murdered the cabbie. It was the most shocking experience of my entire life.
Fucking blowing the lid open.
Domino's is here.
This is how and then what's another one? You know, and then another theory.
Okay,
so that's just one theory.
Okay, so
and then there's a lot of people who saying that yes. Gareth Penn was a Zodiac killer, of course, because he's a maniac. And then there's some people. There's another theory altogether, which is true. Michael O'Hare's mother was a very famous. Avant-garde artist in this group called the New York Group. She was shacking up with another dude. They were like having those like live together relationships.
Of course, it was the 70s,
yeah. Right?
60s.
Some people start being like, Gareth Penn is the publicist for the Zodiac Killer. Michael O'Hare is the trigger man, right? Actually making the moves. His mother is making the calls because she's designing it as a gigantic art project.
Are they the fucking Beagle
the
Boys?
Like,
are they a goddamn cartoon? The mom is making the calls here? Is that what's happening?
That's what's happening. I mean, I think it's what's happening.
It's an avant-garde art project.
Okay, all right. So let's just
it
organize.
It is the greatest art project of the 20th
of
century. Fuck Dolly. Fuck Picasso.
Do you remember the gates?
Lord, I don't know what I did to deserve these friends. I don't know what I did to deserve these friends.
Do you want to hear about Satanists now?
All right. No, yes. We can hear about Satanists soon, but let's just organize real quick. So we have the Unabomber. We have Ted Kaczynski. That's about Michael O'Hare as a possibility.
Gareth Penn.
Gareth Penn is another
Michael O'Hare's mother.
Michael O'Hare's mother. Okay. All right. So that's where we are on the list of suspects. So far, I feel like Arthur Lee is the number one.
Allen is, I mean, yeah, technically. Yeah.
Technically, he seems most reasonable at this point.
Now let's get into what's actually going on.
All right. Yes. So Marcus, we have something on satanic cults and the possible connection there.
Sherry Jo Bates.
Sherry.
Necessary.
Okay.
For the purposes.
Just fulcrum of the fucking events.
Necessary. All right. All right.
God, for another paradigm just blown wide open. We're not going to be allowed to put this podcast on the air because they're going to fucking, because it's going to it's the root. MK Ultra, Dr. Green. We're looking at the fucking Operation Paperclip.
This, what does this have to do with Operation Paperclip right now?
Let's get into it, Marcus. Take it away.
All right.
All right. I'm soaked.
I know. I'm having too much fun with this one.
Sherry Jo Bates.
All right.
First murder. All Hallows Eve.
Interesting.
The most important of satanic holidays, right behind one's own birthday.
Mine, May 1st.
Yeah, there you go.
My birthday is
May
today.
May 1st, May Day.
That's right, we forgot. What was it?
Yeah. May 1st, May Day, also a satanic holiday.
By the way, that was your reaction to my birthday? Was
I didn't say He said
Okay.
I did.
I told you happy birthday already.
Thank you.
On two different shows.
Let's do this.
All right, get into it. Yeah, get into it.
All right. So, Sherry Jo Bates, that's the first one.
Okay.
Then, the next two murders, the ones that are at the Lover's Lane, that happens right before the winter solstice.
Satanic thing again.
Another satanic thing. The third and fourth victims.
Hail Satan.
Hail Satan. They were also rumored, some of these people were rumored to be in with Satanists and drug dealers.
No, you're saying, yeah, that, what's her name? The woman.
The woman.
From the first murder.
Yes.
She knew the killer.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And that's why she got out of the car, because they just had got done having illicit sex.
So he didn't demand her out of the car at gunpoint. She got out willingly.
Yeah, going, oh, satanic brother.
Oh, hello.
And he's just like, oh, hail Satan. And bam, bam. She's like, why are you killing me?
I can't believe it.
So after that, that's when the costume comes out. Some say that his costume mimicked that of Aleister Crowley.
Sure.
The taxi driver was killed the day before Aleister Crowley's birthday.
Birthday. It's a birthday gift to Aleister Crowley.
Exactly.
Didn't want to miss the big day. Got to kill early.
And then the first letter was requested to be published on August 1st. It had to be published on August 1st, which is the occult holiday Lammas.
Yes.
Okay. And what's Lammas celebrated?
It's about big hairy goats.
It's about big,
big
hairy
long
goats.
Argentinian goats.
Lammas.
Llamas.
Yeah. Llamas. Okay, it's very literal.
It's, of course, it's one of the old pagan holidays. It's a wheat harvest holiday.
Oh,
so the harvest, harvesting souls.
It's for making linen kugels.
Oh, is that how they make linies? Well, I love their summer ale.
Because it does play into the cipher. All of this plays into the cipher. Because everything, as in the Radiant Theory, all of this stuff centers upon Mount Diablo.
The devil's mountain.
Of course.
This, it plays into the possibility that, yes, this man was killing people to become slaves for him in the afterlife. Right.
That's where
right.
this
in
comes
hell.
In.
Right.
That's where
that's why that's real. And then also, same thing.
I agree,
where did Dr. Mengele get involved?
Yeah, exactly. As we were saying earlier, the Thule Society, Nazis are involved, white supremacists are involved, Dr. Mengele was the Zodiac Killer, in addition to being the Boston Strangler and the perpetrator of the 2001 anthrax attacks. All three were the work of one Dr.
And I'm
Joseph
saying this right now.
Mengele.
I'm standing up out of my chair, right?
I'm standing up with you.
Yeah, if we're Dr. Green go. Wants to come at us, right? Because you know he's still fucking alive.
Yeah, Dr. Green is the alias of
you
Dr. Joseph Mengele.
Me?
The CIA has been lying to us.
I have got a shotgun. I got it up against my door. Anybody comes in that fucking door, I just knock my headphones off my head.
Yeah.
All right?
Very
Anybody
intense.
Who comes through that door is going to fucking get two loads of fucking shotgun blasts. And you hear that, Dr. fucking Mengele?
Dr. Mengele is not going to be coming through your door anytime soon.
Okay. I know what's going on.
Let's just take it easy for 1 second here. So let's go back, because we introduced Dr. Mengele. I mean, obviously, this is a very large introduction. I mean,
it's more just like... It's
oh, now you're normal. Are you normal again?
I'm just saying, it's just more like, if there's going to be Satanists involved, I mean, he's going to be there.
Sure. Okay. I see. So there's no real clear-cut evidence that Dr. Mengele is the Zodiac Killer.
No.
I mean, as of right now.
I found no evidence other than a few...
Dr. Mengele did.
How bad do you have to want it for it to be true?
It was the same, like, three paragraphs copied and pasted on, like, five different websites.
Okay.
There was no fucking evidence whatsoever.
Which is sad.
I wanted there to be so much evidence. There was not even... The only evidence is some fucking guy on Godlike Productions said, it was Mengele.
Yeah, it's just fun. And the other one was there was another guy named, I forget, it's like Lafayette, who just recently wrote a book that also, that's a part of the San Francisco cops were organizing it. And there was a guy named, that he won't name, but he gave him, he's like, his code name for him is George Rafferty. Okay. And the only evidence that he'll give is that he saw him at a common gay nightlife spot.
Oh my.
Where she was just there to be, he wasn't having sex with
him.
Oh,
just here
dudes.
To check out the scene.
And he saw this dude that looked so evil that he'll always remember his face.
Yeah.
And that's the Zodiac Killer. He just wrote a whole book about it saying the San Francisco, and he was a cop.
It sounds like he went to San Francisco and had a quiet night.
I think they
don't talk about what happened in the bathroom evening.
Yeah, yeah. Shadow night.
That's right. All right. So it seems to me as if Arthur Lee Allen is the one.
I think again the whole point of this the whole point of this episode is we tried our best to clearly deliver some information to you.
Yeah.
Just know this is as clear as it gets.
It is. This is it. This is it.
This is as much as we tried. I'm so glad it's out of my head.
It's over.
I'm so happy to have you guys back.
It's over.
You know, I feel like there's a small exorcism that just occurred.
I can finally go back to life. We could just do normal serial killers after this.
Yeah.
Right, Marcus?
Normal serial killers with evidence.
I'm going to need you guys back in my life.
Actual evidence. We could do some alien stuff now.
Aliens is just so much clearer than this.
Just easy.
So
we could do aliens and demons.
We could probably do this for another 10 hours as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't even touch how Charles Manson could have done it, or the guy who did the Black Dahlia murders could have done it, and then there was,
we're just stopping. Yeah. Henry's brain is officially broken.
We didn't even get into the multiple personalities theory.
God, I just feel like my children. I will get you ice cream on Tuesday when I get paid. Okay? Everything is fine.
Wish you had a better job.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Magustalations.
Magustalations.
Hail me!
Hail Gein!
Hail yourself.
Hail Satan.
Hail Satan.
Hail
overall,
Satan.
Of course, above all.
Oh, and can we just quickly for Ben?
Happy birthday to you.
That's very nice.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear.
He's 44 years old.
Yes, I look
wonderful.
A lot of show for it.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for listening. And thank you for all the birthday wishes on Facebook. I got none.
You don't put your birthday on Facebook.
I know. Goodbye. Hail Satan.